There we go. Sorry for the delay. Again, thank you for everyone who joined. I'm Philip. Thank you, Sumit. But just to lay the framework for those of you who may be on your first call or haven't been on LHON Live call in a while, the main purpose of this call is to benefit you in any way we can, really provide a chance to get to know other people, to share stories, to ask questions. As part of that, we bring a guest speaker each month to share some of their stories, share what journey brought them into the LHON community. These speakers are sometimes people who are affected. Sometimes they are related. Last month, we had Tony join, whose son is affected by LHON, and sharing some of that story. We have people who are loved ones, people who are carriers. We've had everyone join for this call, and we just love the opportunity to showcase not only the fantastic things that all these people are doing, but more importantly, to me at least, show that they're just like you and that they, that we all have unique circumstances and unique situations, but it's fascinating and really cool how similar they are. And so hopefully, if this is your first time, hopefully you're able to get some people's information and ask questions, and hopefully this is beneficial to you all. With that said, there are a few things we do try to keep off of the table for these calls, mainly because we are not experts. I told you that we all met at a conference, but we were not speaking at that conference because we have any special degrees or anything like that. So we try to keep medical advice, legal advice, to some degree, employment advice, some of those things off the table. And instead, if you have questions like that, feel free to reach out and we can put you in touch with the right people. But I'd hate to give you bad information. So with that said, we will move on to the meat of our call with our guest speaker this month. I got to meet her, I guess, last week, and was really appreciative of her raising her hand and being excited to join us for the call tonight. Actually, I know she's a little nervous, so please keep that in mind. But more importantly, I'm just thrilled that she was happy to join us, and she's going to be able to share some of her story. She was affected a couple years ago, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But with that, I'll go ahead and welcome Kaylee Roden. Are you there, Kaylee? Feel free to press *7 if you could, and you'll be unmuted.
Okay. You got me?
Hey, Kaylee. Yep, you're
okay,
there.
I'm
we hear
here.
You.
Yes, I'm here.
No,
actually, yeah, this is my first time even calling in. So even listening to it at all. So, yeah, I'm a little
You get a gold star. I don't know many people who have taken up the opportunity to be a speaker before they've ever heard a call, but this is a pain-free experience, I promise you.
Well, like, probably about an hour ago, my husband was here, and he said, "What time's your call?" I said, "Well, I got to call in at 6:50, but it starts at 7. I said, "I'm very nervous." He said, "Well, then why are you doing it?" I said, "Because I want to tell my story, and it might help somebody else's life."
Exactly. So. And, I mean, I think being willing to talk about things in this space is really important, because I tell people each month we reach out to different people to see if they're willing to talk on these calls. And what I tell everyone is that if you feel like your story isn't worth sharing, then that's exactly the story I want people to hear.
Yeah.
Because there are people every month on these calls who are hearing about people who they think aren't like them. But the fact of the matter is that we're all alike, and that the stories that aren't shared are the ones that I want out there every month, because everyone can see themselves in those kind of people. So let's take you back to a few years ago, actually, before your husband was your husband. But we'll get to that. So it was sometime in 2014, early 2014.
Yeah.
What were the first chapters in your LHON story?
And I'll go before 2014. in October of 2013, I had my last just regular eye doctor visit, and I had 20/15 vision, like had no problem seeing anything, did not have a history of anything. And here in January, the end of January of 2014, I was starting my second semester of nursing school, and I would just notice that when I was trying to read my textbook, that the lines would just kind of blur together. Or I would look up at the overhead, and there would be, like, one spot that I couldn't see. And it wasn't horrible at first, but then I noticed, you know, a couple of days later, I was trying to put on, you know, some eyeshadow, and I was using my right eye to see my left eye, and it was just blurry. And we got in to see my ophthalmologist,
No, that's fine. So that was pretty early in 2014 that you were seeing doctors, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. See, that shows you don't have any knowledge of glasses, because I believe optometrists have to do with glasses. So.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, you probably went the usual route from an optometrist and then being directed to up the ladder a little bit. Is that right?
Yes, because, I mean, I could read maybe the first four lines, and he kept seeing the same spot being blurry. And he sent me to Jackson Retina Associates, and I saw all three. Actually, I saw the first. There were three specialists in that group, and I saw the first one, and he was like baffled and called the other two specialists in there to see if they could see anything, and they could not see anything. So he pretty much sent me out the door and said, well, I hope things get better. Just come back in 6 weeks. And I told my mom, I said, I cannot wait 6 weeks. Like, my vision is diminishing day by day. Well, then I went on to another doctor. I went on to another doctor, and she was below a neuro ophthalmologist, and she did a bunch of tests and sent me on to a neuro ophthalmologist, and it took from February until August before they finally did some blood tests and found out that I had LHON.
Okay, and you did all of that within the state of Mississippi, which is where you live now and where you lived then, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about, so you're diagnosed at that point in time. You were in nursing school, obviously have some things to decide, some decisions. You're at a point where you're determining what the rest of your life is going to hold anyway, even before you start to lose your vision. What's going through your head at that point in time?
Honestly, I was thinking that I would not do anything, that I would not be able to do anything. I was kind of devastated, excuse me.
And so what did you decide with nursing school at that point in time? You said you were in your second semester?
Yes, and I actually just, whenever I noticed that my vision just kept getting worse and worse, I decided that for the health of others, that it would not be safe for me to try to continue on, that I noticed in one of my clinicals one day that I was trying to draw up a serum in my syringe, and I couldn't see the numbers on the syringe. And I just, you know, that's very detrimental to a patient's life. So I just had to go to my instructor and tell her what was going on, and I just had to, you know, there was nothing else I could do at that point but figure out what was wrong with me.
Exactly. No, I mean, and I think that's the right thing to do is take care of yourself and do what you can. And obviously lots of us at those times in our lives decide that, hey, maybe the path we were on is the right path. Maybe we want to, knowing what we know now about our futures or our likely futures, in some ways we want to decide something different. I think that's a responsible decision to step back from and make, knowing everything with all the cards on the table. I've had this same conversation with other people. I think back to the first LA Joint Conference I went to and talking to people about what it's like to be diagnosed at different ages. I spoke to someone who talked about how they were diagnosed very young, and as a result, they got to steer their life with that knowledge. And I kind of compared that to my own life. I was diagnosed around the same time as you. I was around, well, I was older than you. I'm giving myself too much credit. I was 25 or so. And I had made some of those career decisions at that point in time. But in my case, I was able to continue with some of those career things. But what did you decide from there? So you step out of nursing school. There are decisions around vocational rehab and things of that nature. What are you deciding from there?
Right after that, in between the January and August period, like right smack dab in the middle, actually, my mom told me about the vocational rehab center located in Jackson that we went and toured it, and I was all smiles, but I just was just still unhappy when I left. Not unhappy with the program. I was still unhappy with my situation, and it was not for me at the time, because honestly, for the first year after I was diagnosed, I was just pissed off at the world. And it was not for me right then. And I didn't think that I would ever need to take it. You know, I just kept telling myself, well, my eyes are going to get better. You know, everything's going to get better. And here comes 3 years later, and I'm in the same boat. So I finally just kind of just took the reins by the horn and decided that I've got to do something with my life.
And so, yeah, recently you've decided to step into vocational rehab?
Yes, I started August of this year. I have learned, actually, I learned Braille in less than 2 months. So I can read Braille, type Braille. I finished my typing classes in maybe 6 days. And now I am learning the advanced communication, which is they teach you how to use like JAWS or NVDS.
Okay.
NVDS.
And so you've certainly made a lot of decisions in the last few months, because I don't mean to spoil it for everyone, but you mentioned your husband earlier.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate you on starting vocational rehab, but more importantly, I want to congratulate you on your wedding. Well, when was that?
January 28th.
January 28th. So
almost a year. Hard to believe.
Yeah, you're getting close. Exactly. So congratulations on your wedding. I don't know that we've ever had people so recently after their weddings, but if you have anything to share on what it was like planning a wedding or having a wedding shortly after losing your vision. I mean, you shared a little bit with me. Can you share making the decision to get engaged and when that came in your life?
Okay, well, actually this past October 17th was our 6-year anniversary. In August of 2014, I was diagnosed, and that Christmas Eve, he proposed to me. So we had been together for 3 years, and he proposed to me, knowing that it's a life commitment with the LHON. And we were actually still engaged for 2 years before we got married. And just, I don't know, out of the blue, he was the one who mentioned maybe 6 months before we got married. He was like, you know, we should probably get married. And I was like, yeah, that'd be nice.
yeah.
So, I don't know, just plans changed a lot. Went from having, like, he was wanting to do it on a cruise that we were going on, and no, that was not going to happen. I've never really wanted, like, a huge wedding. I've never been that little girl who wants that big wedding, but we finally decided on a venue and, like, just inviting all of our friends, and I think we had, like, 100 guests, which went very, very far up from our 20 guests that we were supposed to have. But honestly, about the wedding planning, that was mainly my mom.
Yeah.
She knows what I like, and she can see stuff online, and she did a very good job. There were people that I did not even know that I would go to a doctor's office and I would say that I got married. They were, oh, my gosh, you're the wedding that was at Cotton Market? I said, yeah, that was it. It was, I don't know. It was very nice of her.
No, that's what moms are for. I'm sure she appreciated it.
Oh, yeah. She enjoyed it very much.
So you talked about how it was a full 2 years or close to 3 years even between you losing your vision, coming to terms with that a little bit, realizing what the future may be for you, and deciding to do vocational rehab. So with some big cooking holidays right around the corner, do you mind talking about how you managed to do things for those 3 years? I know you do more in the kitchen than I do, so I'd love it if you could share some of what you do and how you learned to do it.
Well, like, I'll say probably the first Christmas after I was diagnosed, and maybe, like, part of the second. I think it was more of the first. It was very difficult for me just because I used to love wrapping presents, and I just broke down one day when I was trying to wrap some presents for my mom, and, like, me, my mom, and my brother, like, just had a powwow hug. But I continued on. I mean, I kept trying, and they supported me. And the next 2 years, it's gone great, actually. I taught myself how to wrap presents, and I just have to
make
sure.
Do you do any of the cooking?
Yes, I do, actually. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I do. I do a lot of the cooking. See, like, my favorite thing was making, like, mashed potatoes, and everybody's like, well, how do you peel the potatoes? I'm like, well, I just hope that they don't get the Yukon Gold potatoes because I can't see that skin. But, no, I mean, I just kind of use, like, the contrast shade in peeling them, and the same thing with cutting. I may use a sharp knife, but I space it out between my thumb and the end of whatever I'm cutting. So I can feel it when I'm pressing down.
Yep.
And I make sure that I use measuring cups that are a different color and clear. That's a lot easier.
Do you use the same kind of measuring cup if you're measuring a clear liquid or a opaque liquid, I should say?
I do, because I've actually got some red, which it doesn't matter because I can't make out red or green, but I can tell that that measuring cup is a red measuring cup. So I can tell, even when it is clear, if I hold it just at the right light, I can tell that it's clear.
Yeah.
I stay away from the clear measuring cup.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think more importantly, it's just learning that there are different options out there and different things work for different people.
Absolutely.
And you did it. Go ahead.
Oh, the bump dot, that's one thing that has especially helped me, which I read. Actually, my mom came across a blog called Girl Gone Blind. Right after I was diagnosed.
Shout out to Maria Johnson, yeah.
And Yeah, I like binge read her blonde, which was not probably very good for my eyes, but I did it anyways and came across that post. So put the bump dot on the microwave, the oven, and the dishwasher. So that is a very good thing to do.
I think that's a good first tip, and Marie is a friend of mine, so I would love to encourage everyone to check out #GGB whenever they get a chance. So I know we've started to talk about some other things, and that covers a lot of your story. I'm going to open it up to others for questions in just a minute, but is there anything else that I didn't cover that you want to make sure we chat about a little bit?
According to cooking, I'm still not very efficient at cooking meat. I usually cook everything and wait for my husband to get home to tell us the meat's done. But if he's not going to be there, or if I'm just too impatient, which is most of the time, I FaceTime, like, my mom, and she will look at the meat and see if it's done or not. So
I did that before I lost my vision. So shout out to my mom, Michelle Mark. So no worries there. There's no shame. I'm the first to tell you. Everyone here knows I don't cook. I've been talking about it on this call for 3 years. So I'm impressed by anything that anyone does. I did have to prepare a meal for my lighthouse specialist, and she came over and I made grilled cheeses and heated up soup. So it was pretty impressive.
Good deal, though. Anything's anything.
I'm a big fan of kitchen tools, though, and they become very useful in our situation. So
yes, and about the vocational rehab, there are just so many resources out there and different tools that even if I just stepped out the door, stepped into their door and showed that I was willing to learn and wanting to learn something, they have presented me with so many tools. Whether it be kitchen tools or magnifiers or clocks, calculators. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, and to your point, I mean, one thing I want to highlight that I think is the biggest takeaway from your story to me is it's never too late to raise your hand for some of these things. I know there are people on these calls who waited longer than you, but I mean, I think now is a great time to highlight it, that you lost your vision a few years ago. It wasn't the right time for you to do vocational rehab then.
Yeah.
And when it is the right time for you, that's when they'll take you. And that's a great thing for these people. I don't care if it's been 30 days or 30 years since you lost
exactly.
your vision. If you want help at that point in time, raise your hand, reach out to people, and be an advocate for yourself. And there are resources that will help you. Don't let the fact that it's been, I'll quote Sam Sanders and say, it's been a minute, and prevent you from going to get the resources you want or you need or you deserve. Really, it boils down to what you deserve. So,
right.
I think that's super powerful. I'm super glad you went and you're starting to do some of those things. I'm jealous. I don't know Braille other than numbers like 1 to 10. But anyway.
Something.
Yep, I know that much. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. I'm going to keep the call muted and allow people to unmute themselves since we
have
a bunch of people on the call, which I'm really excited about. But if you have a question for Kaylee or me or Maria or anyone on this call, feel free to unmute yourself by pressing *7 on your phone individually, and we'll first allow people to ask questions like that. If you have trouble finding those numbers on your phone, I will let you know that star is the bottom leftmost button on your phone and the 7 is just above that. But if you still can't find it, don't worry. I will unmute this call in 5 or 10 minutes after we answered some questions, and you will get a chance to ask your question. I just want to keep as much background noise away for as long as we can. And with that, I'll be quiet.
Hey, it's Maria. If you don't think I'm jumping in first thing, Kaylee, you're so sweet. I remember our phone calls when we talked, right? And you had told me that you read my blog. And, you know, just hearing you speak about it again just warmed my heart. And that's one of the reasons I still write it, because of, you know, folks like you who are looking for somebody or something to let them know they're not alone, right?
Yes.
I remember, I'm getting chills right now, because I remember you even sent me photos of your wedding dress, and, you know, we talked about how it was hard to see and find, and, you know, so I'm so, so proud of you after listening to this. I'm so proud of you, and I'm really, really happy how far you've come along. So, and thanks for the shout out. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Andy, as well. Anyway, I'm just really, really glad to hear what you're up to.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's one thing that I was going to mention, and I just, my mind is like a spider web, so everything sticks to it. I wanted to mention, too, that, you know, when I spoke to you on the phone, I know we spent a while on the phone, and I think you're really the one who, my mom's probably going to frown at me, but you're the one who encouraged me to do it, which she has been encouraging me since day one. But, you know, I spoke with you, and you told me that you are not ready until you feel like you're ready. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, I felt like I was ready.
Well, it's true. It's true. And thank you for that. I'm sure your mom's there 24 hours a day for you.
She's right
as far
here
as, you
right
know,
now.
Oh, and
I'm
she's
here right
yeah,
now.
Probably listening. Hi. And, you know, of course, you know, your LA Twin family is here for you always as well. So, you know what, even if it's just those one or two words or a few sentences means that much, then, you know, my heart is full. And that's why I talk to people almost every week who are new into this world and keep in touch with, you know, a handful of them on a regular basis. And, of course, the calls here. So, you know, that's why I do it. So thank you for that.
I mean, it feels like it's a life fulfillment for you.
Oh, well, I'm really happy, and I see your photos on Facebook, and it just looks like you and your hubby are just so happy. You're adorable anyway. I mean, how can you not be the adorable couple? You are.
Aww.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I love your blonde hair. That's rainbow.
Oh. Thank you. Well, now I'm sure you know how to have VoiceOver read it to you and things like that. I hope.
Wait, what?
Do you have or JAWS or something can read it for you? You don't have to strain your eyes, you know, a screen reader.
I'm going through the process right now, actually.
Yeah.
And the JAWS, they said they can give me when I get a job.
Which is crazy.
I mean,
yeah. Do you have an iPhone? Do you have an iPhone, Kaylee?
I do, and I've tried the VoiceOver, and it goes berserk. I push a button and it says page one, and I'm saying, well, I want to go to page two. I don't think it catches it.
Well, it takes time as well, but we're going to have to get you on that, because that will make a world of difference for you. So maybe you and I can have a separate call, and I can help you on a few basics on that. Okay.
Yes, and it could be too that I probably have not updated my phone since 10 updates ago, just because I appreciate my settings that I have now.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll get you at least in the right direction.
Okay.
All right.
Kaylee, it's Lisa. I have a question for you, if I may, which is, if I recall well, I think you might have, I don't think there's a whole lot of people in our group who have symptoms other than vision loss, but I think a few people do, and I think you might be someone who's experienced that, and I don't want to pry, and you don't need to divulge anything you don't want
to,
but
no,
I was just Yeah, I was just curious if you've traveled down that path of other symptoms and what that journey was like, and you know how you've gone down that piece of your journey.
I have had, okay, I'm 11778. I have had an EKG. I've had an MRI. Both were normal, other than I've got compression of the trigeminal nerve, which all of my doctors have always thought that I've got something autoimmune that goes on. So I don't know if it's a coincidence that two of my cranial nerves are conflicted. I'm actually supposed to see a new neuro-ophthalmologist in Hattiesburg. I'm still seeing Dr. Newman, but she wanted me to get in to see a doctor regularly here. So I'm supposed to see her January 4th, so I will know something further then.
That's great. I'm glad you see Dr. Newman, and I'm glad she has you seeing someone locally so that you can cooperate. That's great. That's super. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, absolutely. And I thank you again for the genetic counseling. I'm still meaning to do that, but I've got other family issues right now that is kind of preventing me to do so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like the vocational rehab. It's good to have resources for when you're ready and not a minute before, right?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions out there? Feel free. Again, I'll remind you, star 7 will unmute. Well, with that, I will go ahead and unmute us just to test the waters. As everyone knows, I'm not afraid to mute everyone again. So if when I unmute this, you know you have a lot of background noise. I'll say this before I unmute. If you know you have a lot of background noise, you can do one of two things. You can either mute your phone now with the mute button, or once I unmute, you will hear it say this call has been unmuted, and I ask that you press star 6 at that point in time. Just to keep your background noise out of our phone call, I would really appreciate it, as would everyone else.
The conference has been unmuted.
All right, not too bad. I'm sorry for being too safe, everyone, but we've had issues in the past. So anyone there, if you'd like to ask a question to Kaylee or anyone else on the call, now is your time. It's your call.
I have a question. This is Steve in Richmond, Virginia. I have two sisters, both from my mother. One is a half-sister, but they're both from my mother. She's passed away now. But my one sister just had a baby, and both sisters have boys. And I don't know how much research they've done. But they probably are at risk, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve. I mean, the short answer.
My sister, they're both, like I said, from my mother, but my original sister, she is 4 years younger than me, and she has a 22-year-old son in college, and I think he'd be the one, indefinitely in line to get it,
yes.
Hopefully not, but.
Yeah, I'd hate to call anyone.
And I don't know I don't know if I should say anything to my sister or not.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's certainly a personal decision in that case. And I'll say something, Kaylee, if you'd like to add to it, that's fine. I mean, whether to say something is always going to be a personal decision. But to answer your question, like everyone said, the short answer to are they at risk, both your sisters and their children, the short answer is yes, because this is mitochondrial disease. It's passed through the mother, so they certainly have a chance of getting it. There are those who feel that knowledge is power, and that telling some of these people is the best defense. But I still would bow to that being a personal decision. Kaylee, would you like to add anything to that?
I was just going to say that, like you said, it's a personal decision. Whether you feel like you need to mention it to them or not, that is absolutely your decision. But I was 23 when I was diagnosed. I had a brother who is 5 years older than me. He is 31 now. And
we're getting I'm hearing a little echo there, so I just wanted to ask, does anyone other than Kaylee have speakerphone on right now?
Or if you're in the same room?
I took it off speaker.
Yeah, I don't think it was you because you were the one that I would get the reverb from. But anyway, you can continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine. My brother is 5 years older than me. I am present in my maternal family with this. So, you know, I'm always grateful for my mother and my brother, but you just don't know. I didn't mean for that to sound doomy and gloomy, I promise.
Yeah, this is Maria. I'll just put in my little two bits. I was affected at the age, I started losing vision at 49, affected at 50. So if that gives you any clue that, you know, age is not a factor really in this whole thing. I did tell my sister. She didn't really want to deal with it or hear about it. We both have children. We both had to tell our children that they were carriers. And unfortunately, my sister's son, who is 18, has just lost his vision. So they would not have known that. If I never told my sister, then she would not have known what was going on with her son. And in turn, you know, they would have gone through this whole medical mystery tour. But instead, you know, I was able to tell the siblings that was, you know, in my family. So when the nephew started to see a little blur, he said something right away. And she was able to get him into a neuro-ophthalmologist immediately. And you just never know if there's going to be a treatment option or a clinical trial that a newly affected can get into at the time. And if they don't know to say anything and they don't know this is what it is, they may miss a window of opportunity of a possible trial or, you know, not a treatment of some sort. So, you know, my opinion is it is important to tell the family because they need to know the risks and they need to know that it can happen to them. And I know if Lissa was able to get your email or something of that sort, there is a really, really nice video that was made and was shown at the last conference, which talks about basically goes into how to tell your family, and it's a video you can actually send to your family member and say, this is something I need you to watch, and it tells them in a very, very nice, gentle way, not scary, but it can start the conversation. So anyway, that's my two bits, and because it has happened in my family where they didn't want to know. Then they found out, and then the son was affected. You know, it happens, and people need to be prepared.
Well, I appreciate that.
Sure. So I don't know if Lissa, you guys can hook up somehow, but I think that video would be perfect for him to view himself and decide what he'd like, you know, how he wants to handle that.
Yeah, actually, I do have his email, and the email is half written. I'm just snagging the links right now. So there's two videos. Steve, they're sort of a companion piece, and the first video sort of summarizes what everyone just said, which is sort of all the reasons why you might tell a family member. Then there's another video that you can send to your family member, and it basically tells the family member that there are maternal inheritance issues about this disorder and encourages them to go to LHON.org to learn about the disorder, tells them to consider talking to a genetic counselor who can help sort of soften the blow and explain it. So I'm sending you those videos right now, and anyone can find them on ellyfine.org.
I have something to say, and I think it's important. And I, at 31 years old, I told you, I think I was in the Air Force. I had 20/10 vision, which was better than 20/20. And all of a sudden, in 2001, I had three kids. They were four, 6, and 8 years old. And I was happily married. And I just found out that my now ex-wife was having an affair with her boss. I took it really, really hard. I was shocked. And I took it so hard. I had everything going on. Brand new house, brand new everything. I was a former golf pro, member at a country club, and everything was great. And all of a sudden I started going blind. And 6 weeks later, I am blind. So the stress of mine had to bring on my eye disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it triggered it, you know.
It's just like, what could have been.
You know, that's what doctors have told me, my neurologist, and I read a lot about that. So it's like, that's why I don't want to stress people out either. You know,
I'm sure
I would have gone blind earlier if I'd known. I'm kind of a worrywart anyway. I would have,
me too.
You know. So that's why I kind of asked that. That's a big question and a big, you know, I don't know.
It's a big deal. You know, it is a big deal. And I think if you preview those videos, that will help you make some of the decisions that you're kind of thinking about right now with your family. Yeah.
It's Susan in Ontario. And I was just going to mention that I was diagnosed with LHON at the end of July. And my sister has 3 boys, ages 18, 20, and 22. And she has, of course, she knew right from the start about my loss of vision and then eventually the diagnosis. But she has become, you know, fairly engaged in trying to inform herself about LHON. And because there are neurotoxins that can potentially trigger the disease, it's important, I think, that people who are at risk know what they are. So, for example, you know, she's advised her boys about staying away from any kind of smoke and smoking and, you know, the possible effects of using alcohol and so on. So if they don't know, you know, then people can engage in things that could bring on the disease. So I think it's important that the information be shared.
Good point. Very good.
I think so, too. Yeah.
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 If you have any other questions, feel free to chime in. I will add, now that it is quiet, if you happen to be someone who has speakerphone on near another phone that's on this same call, or if you're just in a room with someone else on the same call, I ask that you kind of share the line, because that may be the reason for some of the reverb that we're getting. Otherwise, other questions? Great questions so far.
I'll say something. Since I drank alcohol when I lost my eyesight, and when I lost it, I went through that divorce at the same time, and I definitely drank too much as I was going blind, and then since I've been blind, but I've had nothing to drink for a year, and I'm never going to drink again because I made that choice over a year ago. But, you know, sometimes it's like, you know what, it's the only thing that helped me cope with it, but you know, now I don't need it, of course, but, you know, but that's the worst thing I've ever done, I guess, is drank before I lost my eyesight.
Well, you didn't know it at the time.
No, I didn't.
And even after, I mean, to me, coping is a very personal process.
Yeah.
If you felt like that is what got you through it, then it may have been.
Because there's really nothing a doctor or psychologist can help you with. It's like, I went to a psychiatrist one time, and he goes, "You didn't even look at me." I said, "That's because I can't see you," you know. And it was just more frustrating to, you know, unless you go to a person that really deals with blind people. And there's, I mean, I don't know. This call is more valuable to me than any doctor can be.
Well, to me, it's even more helpful to talk to another person who has what we have, because nobody, I mean, someone with glaucoma is not going to understand what someone with glaucoma is going through.
Well, I've been blind since 2001, and you guys are the first LHON people I've ever talked to.
Well,
Steve, we're happy to have you on the call, and I hope
Thank
you come
you.
Back.
Thank you.
I love that. I love that. How did you, and I may have missed this part, how did you find out about the call?
Oh, my gosh. How did I did so much research, because I learned how to use my computer, JAWS. That was one of the first things I learned. And I did all this self-research, you know, I knew I had Leber's disease, so then I'd go to all these, you know, sites, a lot of them end up go to other countries and at other big hospitals, and somehow I must have just linked on to the LHON site. I don't know how I could, that's somehow I did it. I'd stay up, I've been known to stay up real late at night and do some weird things on my computer. And
Sure.
Nothing bad.
Well, when you are on a mission, you know, sometimes, you know, one link goes to the next link, goes to the next link, and if you ended up on LHON.org, that's awesome.
There you are.
You know,
Good for you. Self-advocating. You're advocating.
Yeah, I am.
Yourself.
You know, I've come a long ways. I've gone through my bad times, but I've gone, you know, now, like I said, I have a job selling expensive cars, and I'd like, what business? My dad, even back in Minnesota where I'm from, my dad is not very, he just doesn't know me anymore because I'm 48 years old and he's just turned 70. He goes, how are you going to sell a car? You know, it's like, that's like, wait a minute, Dad, you got to do a little research on blind people.
Yeah.
Research.
You know, because a lot of it's on the computer, over the So anyway, I've had two good jobs since I've been blind. One was at SunTrust Mortgage, and I was promoted three times at Capital One. They're based in Richmond here. And I was part of a big Capital One layoff 2 years ago, and that was, you know, I gave up 100% of my Social Security disability income. That was, you know, I was pretty proud and brave to do that. And then to have to be, then I had to go back and prove that I was blind to get my Social Security disability income back.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard. I had to get our United States congressman to help me get it back.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad that you did that there.
Yeah, so I don't think I'll ever give it up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do want to, I'm excited to work again. So, but I, you know, just, you know, play by the rules.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic. We're always happy to have new callers. So, thanks for joining, and even thank you more for speaking up.
Well, you guys all know my email address, right?
We can certainly get it.
Okay.
Linda has that. So.
Okay, good. Well, I'm free to. I'm easy to talk to.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay.
We're getting close to the end of the hour, and I'm not going to cut this call off, but sometime soon I will stop the recording for those of you who maybe holding on to questions that you don't want recorded or would rather introduce yourself after I stop the recording. But before I do that, are there any other calls or questions? I'm sorry.
It's Lisa from Canada. I want to say, first of all, Kaylee, it's a pleasure to meet you. I've heard about you through Maria. I remember seeing a picture of you in your wedding dress, and you looked absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And the fact that it took you a few years to get to where you are now is totally okay. I'm 15 years into mine, and I think it was, year 12 when my mom reached out to I believe, Lisa, and Lisa suggested I talk to Maria, and it was Maria and I who I think our very first phone call conversation was like 5 hours.
Minimum.
Yeah, minimum, yeah. And still is. So prior to that, I had nobody like all of us to talk to. So I think this is really a great call. The conferences are absolutely amazing. I've met some really fantastic people. And just know that you're not alone. Steve, I think it's great that you've spoken up and you've called in for your first time, because a lot of people are afraid to say anything sometimes.
Well, I appreciate that greatly. If you knew me, if it says anything about me, you know, in college it is a prerequisite to take public speaking. I had to take it online.
Yeah.
Like spotlights at all. Yeah.
Well, I
it's okay, it was just needed to be done.
I'm gonna have a shame. Go ahead, Lisa.
Sorry, I'm gonna put in another another plug for GGB here. So it's Maria Knight. I've been posting or sharing a few of your blogs recently, Maria, and a lot of my friends have sort of been sharing it as well and saying, wow, I had no idea. So anyone that hasn't gone to GGB and read some of the stuff, I think should. And
did you say GDB?
GDB.
That stands for Girl Gone Blind.
There we go.
Oh, I thought my dog is from Guide Dogs for the Blind, GDB.
I better be careful with that.
Since we're doing shameless plugs here, I'll go ahead and take the opportunity myself, since I have no shame, and say, since Lisa spoke up and everyone heard Kaylee tonight, those are only two examples of former speakers we had, from one who's probably one of the first speakers we ever had, who I know, I don't think Lisa called in for a call until she spoke in November of 2014. And she is certainly, I hope I don't have to put my foot in my mouth after I say this, our most active former caller in terms of calling in. And so obviously she got something from this experience, or someone's paying her, and I don't know. So
not paying me enough.
Exactly. But if you're ever interested in joining for one of our calls and you would like to share your story, or I'm going to amend that sentence, if you are willing to share your story, we would love to have you as a speaker any month. Feel free to reach out to me, and you can speak in August, February, November, or the other month I can't remember right now. Those are my months. So I would love to have you as a speaker. I know the others would as well, but I'm a great host.
You guys can count on me.
But to end my plug, if you ever want to reach us, you can certainly reach any of us on Facebook. I'm Andy Marks. As I said, Maria Johnson, Jessica Loomer. Or you can email us. We've made it easier for you. Email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We still look at that. Please reach out. We'd love to have you. And that's the end.
Thank you.
I want to do one quick thing, Andy, if you don't mind. I just want to give a shout out. I'm sure they're not on the call, but I believe Andy, it might have been you, who had Blake Steinke. Was it Steinke? Is their last name? Blakey was, I think, maybe 16, 17 at the time. It was you, Andy, right?
Yes, I had him. He's in California.
Yes, he is in northern San Diego County, where I live in San Diego. And I just want to give a quick little 2 minutes here. And you guys may have seen the photos on the group page, but Blake and his family are dedicated to creating a blind hockey team in San Diego. And we do have a lot of blind hockey players, you know, in the group. mostly Canada and, you know, up in the other Midwest and all where it actually snows. And, but anyway, they came to the Braille Institute, which is one of our organizations here that helps people who are blind, visually impaired, classes and whatnot. But they came and Blake told his story, talked about blind hockey. He was a sighted hockey player before. His dad also plays and coaches hockey, and they have a passion for it. And they have actually already traveled to Canada, played with Mark DeMontes. They've traveled to the East Coast, bless you, traveled to the East Coast, have talked to East Coast teams, and they are determined to create a team here. And so they put it out there, and we had, I don't know, maybe it was 10 participants with not that much advertising, mind you, but we all played hockey in the parking lot with hockey sticks, even me, yep, even me, and whistle balls. If y'all know what a whistle ball is, the real light ball, and they cut it open and they put jingle bells inside them. So they were like little cat toys, if you will. And so there we are out in the parking lot, and we're batting these whistle balls around, and they're making noise, and, you know, they brought little goalie nets, and there's a photo of, you know, me hitting it, and, you know, Blake was playing goalie. And anyway, I just want to tell you that Blake is the neatest kid. I'm telling you, he's now his first year in college. Such a neat family. His brother, his Dylan, older, nice, and the mom and dad, just neat people. So anyway, if anyone knows anybody in San Diego who has an interest in hockey, you know, definitely spread the word that they are determined and very dedicated to creating a team down here and getting some West Coast teams going.
Yeah, I will piggyback on that, because I remember quite a bit about Blake. If anyone remembers the call, he spoke about doing a lot of mountain biking. He does trail biking blind. He has a Rubik's Cube that he does in less than a minute blind. That's all tactile. He was, you may remember, being voted homecoming king or prom king. I forget which of the two. But awesome, awesome guy. So if you're in the San Diego area, learn to play hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you guys that I'm a former PGA golf professional.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you can still play golf. You know that, right?
I know, but it's just so frustrating. You know, I was playing the best.
I
was playing so good right when I lost my eyesight. It was hard.
We have somebody in the community who is the national blind golf champion. Did you know that?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. We got someone to hook you up with. If you want to play again, there's a way, because we have champions among us, for sure.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Lisa could send you a link of an article that was just in the San Diego paper.
Okay.
Just
hey,
a little.
We've got Bob on the call, or we did in the beginning. Bob's a golfer.
Oh, yeah. Bob plays golf. Bob Banks? Where's Bob Banks?
On the call?
No.
Maybe not. I know we had a couple drop off.
I'm at the gym, so I've been on mute.
Oh, Bob, you play golf.
No,
and
I would encourage you to pick up golf, because if you have as good a swing as it sounds like, then the swing's still there.
I was always, you know, never, when I lost my eyesight, I was, you know, shooting par, 68, 69, 70. I mean, it was tough.
Then you can still play golf.
Yeah.
That's what I get on the front nine.
I can relate to that.
Now I got to figure out how to sell an expensive vehicle.
And get back on the course there. Tina.
I know
you can
it.
You can, you
know. If you can play golf with some of those doctors, you could sell some of those cars, right?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Well, at least I'm healthy.
And if you get out there golfing as a blind golfer, you get to take a guide or a coach with you and blame all your bad shots on them.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Anyway.
So I know
this
we're
is a
right
good call.
Thanks so much for joining it. I'm not in any of the conversation by any means, but since we're at the top of the hour and I normally try to at least bid farewell to those who have to leave at the hour, because I don't want to keep any more time than that. If that's all you have for us, we really appreciate you joining.
As I said, we have these calls every month. We never miss one. Next month is the first Wednesday at 8 p.m. as well. That's December 6th. You will have another host, which means you will have a better host than this month. So don't forget to call back in December 6th at 8 p.m. You can always see on the Facebook group our LHON Live logo. And if you'd like to be a speaker on a future call, it's really hard. There's a long list, but you can email it to the lhonlive@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to fit you in. Thanks again to everyone. And with I am going to allow people to continue chatting, but I'm going to go ahead and turn the recording off to continue the conversation. Is that okay with everyone?
Yep. Well, I look forward to talking with all of you guys again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Great.
It's a great time.